Ramadan?
Is to raise awareness about Palestine, right? That's one of the main ideas, is to raise awareness. Because at that time, back when Imam Khomeini brought this issue up, it was not such a hot issue. People had sort of given up on Palestine. Even like Palestinians had thought they've lost everything. The Israelis thought that they had won. So when Imam Khomeini and the revolution came here, that's what sort of broke that sort of perception and image. Mm-hmm. And the amazing thing is that we will stand against oppression. It doesn't matter who the oppressed is. They don't have to be Shia. They don't have to be Muslim. If there's a human being that's being oppressed, we are there to stand against the oppressor.
Yeah. So we have that day in order to not to forget Quds and not to forget Palestinians and how much they're suffering from those oppressors.
Yeah, I would say that, the answer to the question, why should a Shia leader or Shia country be more active and, be the flag bearer of this resistance? The answer to this would be because we are the followers of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is what Ahlul Bayt has taught us.
So we've been raised on those ideas and on those concepts that if there is a person who is being oppressed, no matter what color they are, no matter what language they talk, and no matter where they are living in, we have to stand up and we have to speak up. Like to think that we expect as human beings from all the people who are living in the Middle East, because, Palestine is close to us, so we cannot be so easy with the fact that some people are getting killed at the same moment that I'm living my life right in this country. So this is not an easy thing to cope up with.
Yeah, I mean, I think going back to the core of the topic, which was, about why are Arab countries not doing their sort of part in this, I would almost stop differentiating between Arab countries and other countries, because for me, they're all the same. They're all under the same sort of Zionist controlled one world sort of government. They're being funded, their businesses, everything is connected to the West. And
they're just namely Muslim countries.
So money and power are talking in here.
Definitely. That's a huge part of this.
Yeah.
Right? It's a huge part of this. So many of these countries have bent over backwards, as we would say, because of money and power issues. Yeah. They were unwilling to let go of
power. And if there is any country who would speak up, then there would be sanctions.
Yes,
it can be anything. So yeah. It's just the personal interests that gets them into any talks or not. There's just personal interest.
Yeah. So
that's a very important point, by the way, that you just mentioned sanctions. Like Iran is under sanctions. One of the big reasons we're under sanctions here is because of our support of Palestine.
Exactly.
Right? We are paying a cost for it.
It's because that's a danger for the Zionists.
Exactly. So if Arab countries were to start supporting, they know that they will face
suffered from the same troubles that we're suffering.
Right. So they decided to make the deal with the devil and,
Yeah. So you sell your other world and buy this world, though you know that this one is temporary, it's going to end, and finally the truth is going to be winning anyway. Because there'd be a green future for us, and we do believe in that. The situation is not going to be like this forever. There'd come a promised Imam, and he would save all the world.
Definitely.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
I would even say, even historically, the brother mentioned me. I would even way back into history and say that.
Well, only the tyrants would change.
Right, yeah.
The brutal person just changes. Oppression would never cease to exist as long as Imam Mahdi is not there. So we do tend to believe that one day everything is just going to be solved and we all shall find peace eventually. So we got the answer, and the gist would be telling the truth is going to have some dangerous consequences that not all the people and all the nations have the courage to do that. So there are power, there's money in the middle of this story, and we cannot underestimate the power of them. So thank you for staying with us until another session. I leave you to God's Never Sleeping Eyes, and wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا الله يا رب العالمين يا يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رايزك
يا الله
يا رب العالمين يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ربي لدي أمة رايزك لتصي دليلتك once
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
A new survey has found that almost half of British teenagers say that violence or the fear of violence has affected their lives and manifested itself in trouble sleeping, loss of appetite, or difficulty concentrating at school. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. According to a landmark report by the British government advisers into what drives knife crime, bullying and gang rivalries, half of all teenagers witnessed or were victims of violence in England and Wales last year. The largest ever survey in the United Kingdom of youngsters about the problem found shocking and unacceptable levels of youth violence, with 358,000 teenagers physically injured during the last 12 months. According to Youth Endowment Fund, the scale of the problem was also found to be undermining children's education, with one in five teenagers admitting they had skipped school during the last 12 months because they felt unsafe. The Youth Endowment Fund has received £200 million of government funding to prevent serious youth violence and advises the Home Office and senior police officers on what works. The research, which was published on Monday, 13th of November, is based on a detailed survey of 7,500 teenagers and confirms the link between poverty and youth violence. A third of teenagers in families who rely on food banks were found to be victims of violence over the last year. Levels of violence were most pronounced among vulnerable children, with 37% of teenagers who are supported by a social worker admitting that they had been a victim of violence. The finding raises serious questions over the government's approach to tackling youth violence. Critics say it relies too heavily on granting police more powers instead of tackling the root causes of the problem. John Yates, executive director of the Youth Endowment Fund, said, "The public, including my friends, tend to think this issue affects a very small group of people instead of recognizing that actually half of all teenage children are seeing or experiencing violence." John Yates added, "Adults, whether politicians or not, need to recognize that levels of violence are unacceptably high. This is not playground mocking about. When you consider the numbers getting properly injured or changing their behavior because of fear of violence." However, the Youth Endowment Fund is most concerned over how few perpetrators of violence receive sufficient mentoring or therapy to amend their behavior. Its research, the first of its kind in Western Europe, found that 9 in 10 teenagers who committed violence that led to physical injury received no subsequent support. Yet studies show that mentoring programs can prevent violence by reducing subsequent incidents by up to 21%. On Saturday, hundreds of mourners lined the route to the funeral of 15-year-old teenager Eliane Andam, who was stabbed to death on her way to school in Croydon, South London. A 17-year-old teenage boy has been charged with her murder. The latest high-profile murder of a teenager was last Tuesday, 7th of November, when 15-year-old Alfie Lewis was stabbed to death near a school in Leeds in Yorkshire. A 14-year-old teenage boy has been charged with his murder. From Monday, 13th of November, many police forces will undertake a week of action to tackle knife crime as part of Operation Skepta, a national initiative which will include educational programs and knife amnesties. Although the Youth Endowment Fund's own studies indicate there is no clear evidence that knife surrender schemes or knife awareness initiatives actually work. The website News Noledia has also covered the same story and tells us more. A new survey found that almost half or 47% of British teenagers said that violence or fear of violence has affected their daily lives and manifested itself in trouble sleeping, in loss of appetite, or concentrating at school. The research also underlined the role of social media in propagating violence, with 4 in 10 teenagers believing that the technology played a role in encouraging violence. John Yates, the executive director of Youth Endowment Fund, said, "The fundamental thing that we all need is safety. If you're struggling to sleep, to travel to school, or go out and meet people because you're afraid, it's pretty hard to get everything else in your life working." When perpetrators of violence were asked why they hurt others, more than half said it was because they felt baited, while bullying and retaliation were other prominent factors. The research, which also interviewed 3,000 adults for their views on the problem of youth violence in the United Kingdom, found that teenage children were frequently the victims and the perpetrators of violence, with 1 in 4 saying they were both. Another issue was the relatively high rates of violence involving girls, with 1 in 12 also admitting to perpetrating violence. 7% of girls said they had been victims of sexual violence, compared with 5% of boys. A Home Office spokesperson said, "We're investigating heavily in a twin-track approach to reduce youth violence, which combines early intervention and prevention with tough enforcement measures." The spokesperson for the Home Office added, "Since 2019, we have invested over £170 million into the development of violence reduction units in the 20 areas worst affected by serious violence. This is alongside a further £170 million we have provided to fund additional targeted police patrols, reaching over 215,000 vulnerable young people in this third year of funding alone." The spokesperson claimed, "We're also investing £200 million over 10 years in the Youth Endowment Fund to understand how to better prevent youth violence. The British newspaper The Independent has also covered the same story. Research suggests more than half of young people aged between 13 and 17 have seen real-life violence on social media in the past 12 months, including fighting, threats and sexual assaults. A survey carried out on behalf of the Youth Endowment Fund also found that 24% had seen another child carrying a weapon online. The poll of 2025 teenagers about their experiences of violence revealed that 14% had skipped school because they feared being a victim of violence, while 65% had altered their behaviour, appearance, or where they went to keep themselves safe. John Yates, executive director of the Youth Endowment Fund, said, "Far too many of our children are being exposed to real-life violent content on social media sites. And this matters." This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنة let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters dear listeners of IRB English Radio welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperations with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really happy that we have Ali Nasser here, Hassan Nasrullah, and Hussein Ruhullah, brothers from Sevier International School. So, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. Welcome. How are you?
Wa alaikum assalam, sir. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Hassan, how are you?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah, sir. How are you?
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Good. We all are fine. Hope you are fine, inshallah. Let's get started. Inshallah, in this session, we will talk about Ayah 34 of Surah Al-An'am on page 131. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, turn to page 131, Surah Al-An'am, Ayah 34. Everyone, let's get started. Let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Walaqad kudhibat rusulun min qablika fasabaru ala ma kudhibu wa udhu hatta atahum nasruna wala mubaddila likalimati Allah. وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِن نَبَئِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
Nice recitation, mashallah. Before we go to Tajweed rules and practice the recitation of this ayah, let's mention some points about this ayah then, inshallah, okay? All right, Ali Nasir?
Yes.
Okay. But remember that it's going to be a short explanation. Of course, you need to refer to the tafasir or interpretations and learn more. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's talk about this ayah. Allah Almighty says in ayah 34 of Surah Al-An'am, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ Apostles were certainly denied before you. فَصَبَرُوا عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا Yet they patiently were being denied and tormented. Hatta atahum nasruna. Hatta atahum nasruna. Until our help came to them. Wala mubaddila likalimatillah. Nothing can change the words of Allah. Wala qad ja'aka. And there have certainly come to you مِن نَبَئِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ Some of the accounts, some of the adventures happened to the prophets before you, to the apostles. Okay?
Yes.
All right, let's see what Allah Almighty says. Basically, Allah Almighty wants to encourage the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because, look, when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was preaching Islam, was spreading Islam, okay, was inviting people to accept Islam, there were different groups of people, okay? There were people who were accepting, so accepting people, because it was quite the same as their nature, okay? Fitrah. When Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay, first time started preaching Islam, he said, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا O people, say لا إله إلا الله There is no Lord, there is no God except Allah Almighty تفلحوا To get what? Felicitous, to get a happy life To be among the right doers So there were different groups of people A lot of people accepted Because Prophet ﷺ was bringing them reasons And explaining why there is one God How is it possible? Okay? talking about Allah Almighty and proving the existence of God for them, they were accepting. But at the same time, there were people who were opposing, who were confronting the Prophet and the pagans. When Ja'far Tayyar, okay, Prophet sent him with some of the Muslims to Habasha, okay, Abyssia, that day, okay, there were Christians. When Janab Ja'far, okay, Tayyar, talked and argued, okay, with the scholars, with these Christian scholars, they accepted Islam. They accepted and they said, oh, what a beautiful religion. It's the same as us. We believe in God, you believe in God. That's right. But pagans in Mecca, the city of Mecca, they started confronting the Prophet. They started plotting against the Prophet, okay? They started plotting against the Prophet, okay? And nowadays as well they do. Up to now, up to the Day of Judgment, up to the time Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam comes, okay, they will be doing this. So, this ayah basically tells the Prophet that don't worry. These confrontations, these kind of oppositions, okay, should not make you, sad. Should not bring sorrow and grief to you, okay? Confident, tawakkal ala Allah, fa'idha azamta fatawakkal ala Allah, rely on God, trust God, the religion is the truth. When you believe in yourself, when you believe in your God, when you believe in what you do, okay? When you believe what you do is right, what you do is truth, okay? There is no falsehood into it, okay? Then you should be confident, okay? Then Allah says that a lot of prophets before you had faced, okay? They faced the same situation. Okay, Allah says, وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِنْ قَبْلِ كُذِّبَ means that the people, okay, attributed falsehood to them. They denied the prophets. Okay? Rusul is an indefinite word. Indefinite word sometimes is used to show what? Majority, to show a large number. So a lot of prophets before you have faced the same situation. They challenge the same. Don't worry. This should not make you sad. Okay? So this is a natural thing and it's not going to be changed. There will be always people who will be denying you. There will be some people who will be accepting you. So don't worry. Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, guys, to learn more about this. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy. What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran. All right?
Yes.
Ready to move on?
Yes.
Yeah. Second part of our class, the Tajweed rules, and then inshallah, finally, we'll have the recitation. Recite a salawat, everybody, to get ready.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
All right. Walaqad kudhibat. Hussein, can you tell us about the letters which matter in terms of pronunciation? In this ayah?
Yes.
Okay.
The letter Qaf.
Qaf has a heavy sound. Qaf. Yes. Qaf. Make sure it's not Ka. We don't have this equivalent of Qaf in English. We have the equivalent of Ka in English. Kaf. But this is Qa. Qa. Okay?
Yes.
The letter Sad.
Mm-hmm. Sad. What about Dhal? Kudhiba.
Yes.
Dhal. Uh-huh.
Dhal.
Ra has a heavy sound. Saad, good job. Next.
Yeah, Hamza.
Hamza.
The letter Ha.
Ha. Ayn. Hamza and Ayn.
Yeah.
They are different, yes? Hamza. Ayn. Yes. Ha. And the other soft Ha. 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 They are different?
Yes. And yeah,
These are the letters, yes. These are the letters that really matter. You should pay attention to their pronunciation. Okay. The first rule, the word laqad. Qad. The letter dal has an echoing sound because it appears sakin. How many letters are there? The rule qalqala is applied with?
Five.
Okay, tell us the letters.
Qaf.
Qaf.
Ta. Ba.
Ba.
Jim.
Jim and?
Dal.
Super. These five letters, whenever you see them appear sakin, okay, make sure you bounce the sound. Make a stopping sign, a sound on them, and bounce the sound. Echo the sound. Walanqad. Walanqad. Watab. Hajj. Huh?
Yes.
So, walanqad. Kuthibat rusulun min qabl. Rusulun. Remember that the tanween an in un and the nun sakin, they have four different rules that based on the what? The letter, okay, that comes after them, we use one of those rules. Okay, here the rule says rusulun. After tanween, you have the letter mim, you should merge them. Rusulum. Lum. With an extension and nasal sound.
Yes.
وَلَقَدْ كُذِّبَتْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. مِن نُن ساكن plus قَاف. Based on the letter قَاف, we hide the sound.
إخفى.
مِن قَبْلِكَ. Look, قَبْلِكَ like لَقَدْ echoing sound. قَبْلِكَ. فَصَبَرُوا. Those prophets were patient. You should be patient, prophet, okay? فَصَبَرُوا. عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا. صَاد has a heavy sound, make sure. عَلَى مَا كُذِّبُوا وَأُوذُوا حَتَّى. The mad is not wajib. You can extend it or avoid it. حَتَّى أَتَاهُمْ نَصْرُنَا وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ. The word Allah is pronounced with an A sound.
Yes.
وَلَا مُبَدِّلَ لِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ. This mad is wajib. Extend it. Up to 5-6 counts. Min nun sakin plus nun. Nun has tashdid. We learned the rule of mim mushaddad and nun mushaddad. Do you remember?
Yes.
You should extend the sound 2 counts. Min naba'il mursaleen. You ignore the ya. Ya has a baby sukun sign on the top that says you should not read the ya. A circle one.
Yes.
So, we mentioned the important tajweed rules in this ayah. Ready to practice the recitation now?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, listen carefully and repeat.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
ولقد كذبت رسل من قبلك فصبروا على ما كذبوا وأوذوا حتى أتاهم نصرنا
ولقد كذبت رسل من قبلك فصبروا على ما كذبوا وأوذوا حتى أتاهم نصرنا
ولا مبدل لكلمات الله
ولا مبدل لكلمات الله
وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِنْ نَبَإِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
وَلَقَدْ جَاءَكَ مِنْ نَبَإِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أحسنتم. Allah bless you, brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks, Hassan Hussein Ali Nasser. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the next coming sessions. Stay with IRB English Radio. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Sevilla International Schools for cooperations. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
Face to face.
Hello and welcome from the Yemeni capital, Sana'a, to this special meeting with the Prime Minister of the Yemeni caretaker government, Dr. Abdulaziz bin Habtour, to talk about the Yemeni position on the Israeli aggression on Gaza. First of all, hello and welcome to our show, Mr. Prime Minister.
Hello and thank you.
Your Excellency the Prime Minister, in this conversation about the Yemeni position on the developments in Palestine and the Israeli aggression against Gaza that has been ongoing for days, I want to start talking about the most important one, which is the military development and what is related to military operations by Sana'a specifically. There is a continuation of military operations, as your armed forces announced, with missiles or drones. It was announced almost at the end of October that Sana'a had officially begun or participated in this war against Israel. Why did you make this decision?
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful. Thank you very much. Naturally, the Arab and the Islamic nation is required today to be present in the face of this brutal and barbaric invasion launched by the Zionist entity. Against our people in Palestine, all of Palestine. It is true that Gaza is being subjected to blatant, strong, and violent aggression, but the West Bank is also being subjected to a series of attacks, campaigns, and raids. Naturally, we consider ourselves part of the axis of resistance. The axis of resistance is like a unified joint operations room which coordinates between all parties from the media and political aspects as well as to the military and security aspects.
What you mean, Doctor, is that these operations carried out from Sana'a were not an independent, individual decision from Sana'a, but rather were coordinated with the axis of the states and components of the axis of resistance in general?
You know, and everyone knows, that coordination is taking place at the highest levels between the leader of the Yemeni revolution, Abdul Malik Badruddin al-Houthi, and also the leaders in Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, and also the resistance in Palestine. And this is no longer a secret. I mean, the issue is clear, but we may or may not have taken the initiative. There are general and broad lines that we work according to them, whether we consult or don't consult.
Mr. Bin Habtour, let's talk about Sana'a's entering the course of the battle against the Zionist entity directly and officially. What does this development represent at the level of the ongoing battle now?
We want to deliver a message to all Arabs, from the ocean to the Persian Gulf, that the duty to defend our Palestinian people is a sacred duty for every citizen and not just for governments. As for governments, it is more appropriate that they be the ones to confront this fierce and brutal battle with the Zionist entity. Unfortunately, some Arab regimes were praised by the Americans and by the American Secretary of State. A number of Arab leaders were praised by them for their stance. This is a shameful truth. and it is frustrating for all liberal forces, not only in our Islamic and Arab world, but on a global level, the entire world. Therefore, the battle is essentially a battle of Islamic alignment. It is between the camp led by the Zionist movement in the United States and the Islamic countries.
You spoke about America's assistance to the other party. In your opinion, with such a military step taken by you, do you not fear that it may reflect negatively on the course of the Yemeni negotiations, especially since America is a party to the coalition countries and the war on Yemen as well?
Of course, we're fully aware that any position we take has consequences. But our people in Palestine and their interest and their defense are the top concerns of the Republic of Yemen, Sana'a. If they want an Arab-Arab or Arab peace with the United States of America, we have declared it clearly some time ago that we are ready. But today, a brutal aggression is being launched against our people in Gaza with the assistance of the United States of America. And it is not just assistance. They participate in the operations room that manages the genocide in Gaza. And they bring their ships, submarines, planes, and all the mercenaries. Now they have brought mercenaries from Kiev, Ukraine, to the occupied Palestine. This means, unfortunately, this is an alliance that is openly against us. The alliance starts from Washington, London, Paris, and Berlin, and the Zionist movement leads it through the centers of Zionist power present in these countries. It is no longer a secret to anyone. These people have the vision of overthrowing the resistance in Palestine in order to install, as they say, their mercenary agents, the Abbas Group and the PLO, in order to be an alternative to the authority in Gaza. This is an essential matter for us. If the peace talks between us and the Saudi and Emirati governments fail, then dozens of other steps will fail.
Do you mean that the duty to confront this alliance is a duty for Yemen?
Not only the Yemenis, it is a sacred duty for every Muslim and Arab. But it is preferable for the Arab countries to take the lead.
You took this decision as a government.
Yes.
What is the opinion of people and political parties in Yemen regarding the decision to take part in the war?
You followed the marches in Sana'a and in the rest of the free governorates. They came out in the hundreds of thousands and even in the millions, all of them supporting the position of the beloved leader of the revolution, Abdul Malik Badruddin al-Houthi. Asking to use all our strength and whatever capabilities available to us.
You mean that the demands even started before these operations were carried out?
Yes. As for the political forces in Sana'a, they're all united around the leader of the revolution, al-Houthi.
Mr. Benhabtour, I want to ask a military question. Military data says that various and multiple targets were targeted inside Israel. There's a distance about 2,200 square kilometers between Yemen and the targeted sites in the occupied territories. What type of weapons are used? What are the specifications of these weapons that are capable of penetrating this distance?
Today, weapons have become available throughout the world, and the foe knows better than the friend what capabilities each individual country possesses. Saudi Arabia and the UAE know what capabilities we possess. We have local military manufacturing. We have an alliance. We have a resistance alliance. This resistance alliance helps us with opinions, with advice, helps with capabilities, with training, development, and so on. Everyone agrees that there are two camps today. Our camp was strongly strengthened on October 7th, and the Zionist camp receives its orders from the American administration and from the French and British administrations.
سنعود الحديث دكتور حول
We will come back to this, Doctor. We'll talk about these countries that you mentioned now and the positions of the Arab or Islamic countries regarding the developments in Palestine. You told us about the advanced weapons, how Yemenis were capable of developing these advanced weapons, which are now hitting Israeli targets, given the situation that Yemen is experiencing from years of war and sanctions.
We were under sanctions for 9 years, and the noose was tight on us in all economic, scientific, and cultural aspects during 9 years of aggression. But in this time, the development of military security services, factories, and industries did not stop. We did not stop developing the internal military machine. I said, and I repeat, the alliance is the one that provides us with the belief, provides us with the vision, and provides us with the equipment. Some equipment is difficult for us to obtain or even manufacture. That is why we have repeatedly said that this alliance helps its members in all fields.
I mean, do you officially say that there is a joint cooperation between you and the rest of the axis of resistant countries?
Sure, this is what we say in all our speeches. We say it in our conversations. It is not a secret at all that we have military, security, and cultural cooperation with the country that leads the axis of resistance. That is Iran. And our relationship with Tehran is excellent. I mean, very, very, very excellent. And had it not been for their support, we would have been harmed more. On the contrary, we extend our thanks and appreciation first to our people, who have such great patience, and also to our brothers in the Islamic countries, led by Iran. Iran helped us with the thought, helped us with media support, financial support, and so on.
After you, Prime Minister, took this military step, there are now threats from the Israeli and American sides. They also say that they are studying the appropriate response to the operations coming from Yemen. Are you now in full military readiness to confront this development if it occurs?
The power that some believe the U.S. possesses is not real. This belief comes from the failure of some regimes who don't have the courage to oppose America's tyranny. If every country said no and stopped dealing with the U.S., America would know its degraded place.
Are we ready for confrontation if any operations are carried out by the Israelis or Americans in Yemen?
Our strength is in our weakness, and our weakness is in our strength. We relied on this equation for 8 years and achieved victory over countries that possessed many capabilities and weapons. But we stopped them in their tracks, and Sana'a remained clean from their filth.
Let's go back to the war in Palestine. Of course, you officially announced your participation. Hezbollah is carrying out resistance operations in Iraq and Syria as well. Now that all these parties have joined the war, what should we expect to see in the near future?
We contributed our humble role, and we say again that this role is modest. We just fired missiles and sent drones because, for now, we have limitations. The axis of resistance has enormous potential, has capabilities, and has popular support from all the social forces that surround the military decision maker and the political decision maker. Therefore, we say that we will continue the support for the resistance in Palestine with all our strength and all our capabilities. And we will not stop until the Zionist killing machine stops in Gaza and the West Bank.
In addition to the military action, there are multiple solidarity stances from the Yemeni side. I am talking about protest marches and demonstrations that have not stopped. There are national campaigns and several measures announced by you. What is the nature of these campaigns and measures to support Palestine and Gaza?
We have approved a high committee to mobilize these enthusiasms, capabilities, the media, cultural and financial support. This high committee is carrying out its task at the sectoral and governorate levels of the Republic, And we are continuing this matter, considering that this is a sacred duty that we should not stop. We're witnessing all the crimes moment by moment, and the Zionist aggression has not stopped for a moment in bombing our people in Gaza and the West Bank. So our mission is complex. This is a mission for all free people.
So, in light of these multiple Yemeni positions in solidarity with Palestine, it is an indication that Yemen will always take this position for Palestine, and it is not limited to this stage.
We are committed as a member of the Axis of Resistance to our commitments towards resistance in Palestine. Secondly, we believe that small things get bigger. The resistance was weak, limited, and grew as a result of the Zionist American imperialist pressure, which practice all forms of siege and all forms of killings of the Axis of Resistance. So when we started the growth, we will not stop. The Axis of Resistance has shown throughout this period. You saw that the Zionist government, which many talked about its military might, fell in 3 hours, only 3 hours, in what was called the Al-Aqsa Flood Operation. Imagine this bogeyman that was frightening 400 million people were defeated. 400 million from the ocean to the Persian Gulf. ١٢٠٠ Islamic and nationalist fighters from all the resistance factions led by Hamas and also Islamic Jihad. Imagine these 1,200 did all this huge work. What if all the Islamic nation moved?
So here I would like to ask about the positions of the rest of the Arab and Islamic countries. How do you evaluate these positions regarding what is happening in Palestine now?
We advise that the appropriate time has come to support this resistance with all strength and capabilities that these countries have. Their position up to this moment is weak and sometimes even shameful regarding what is happening right now.
Who do you mean exactly?
The countries that normalized with the Zionist entity and countries that are proceeding with normalization.
What will be the future of normalization? How will they proceed with it when they see these massacres in Palestine, when they see these crimes committed by the Zionist entity?
Now Arab leaders are struggling with their conscience. They stand before the aspirations of our Arab peoples, and they stand before world public opinion, which declared its public position against a Zionist entity. Zionists are committing crimes that neither German Nazism nor Italian fascism committed, when they now kill more than 4,000 children and more than 600 women, and also such a number of elderly people. The Nazis did not do this. The Nazis did it, by the way, in concentration camps, and they continued for 6 years until they reached these numbers.
To confront this Zionist brutality, as you talked about it, what is the Arab and Islamic movement required to do now to support Palestine and Gaza?
I heard that they're now calling for an Islamic conference. God willing, they will be faithful to what Islam says about helping a brother, supporting the weak, and coming to the rescue of the one in need. Islam taught us many values, including steadfastness, self-confidence, and resistance, not surrender, submission, and falling at the feet of the Zionist aggressor.
We talked about the latest developments in Palestine and the regional countries' positions regarding it, but in other countries we also see people who take a stand. We have witnessed many positions of solidarity. Even in Western countries, many demonstrations took place, as well as the positions of officials and the positions of political parties and forces there. Has the world now realized the true importance of the question of Palestine and the oppression of Palestinian people that has extended for many years?
In the case of Palestine, the capitals of the Western countries like Washington, Berlin, Paris, and London failed to take a stand based on their constitutions, based on what they claim as human rights, children's rights, and protection of people's lives. There is a huge gap between the regimes and the public opinion in these countries. Public opinion in America is against Joe Biden and his gang.
Here, I would like to ask, why is Washington so willing, as we saw in this war, to defend and support the Zionist entity?
Who sent Joe Biden to power in the U.S.? They are a group of cartels present in American society. These cartels are the ones that created these politicians and are managed by the Zionist lobby that is steering the wheels of affairs from behind in Western capitalist societies.
Finally, I would like to ask this question. There are victories being achieved now by the resistance in the face of this American Zionist arrogance. Victories began with Operation Al-Aqsa Flood on the 7th of last October and continue until today. You, Prime Minister, how do you view the size of these victories and the extent of the hope placed in them to support Palestine?
Any politically aware person, whether in solidarity with the resistance or even against it, will reach one conclusion, that this temporary regime is a creation of the global Zionist lobby. This is a regime that is nearing its end. It's practically fell. It was a military, security, intelligence collapse. But Western countries, specifically America and Britain, came and pumped the blood of our martyrs into its veins so that it could revive and return to its normal condition. But all economic, military, security, political, and moral indicators prove that the Zionist entity is on the verge of gradual and inevitable demise. Western countries have tried and are trying to restore it to normality. They may sit on their chair again, but the one who once fell will collapse, God willing.
Thank you, Prime Minister. We have reached the conclusion of this interview. Thanks for getting into all the details.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thanks for following the special meetings from the Yemeni capital in Sana'a with the Prime Minister of the Yemeni caretaker government, Dr. Abdulaziz bin Habtour.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
the headlines. 42 days into the Israeli war on Gaza, more Palestinians lose their lives in